Today on Real Radio.
Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether that he does is pure or right. You're always going to be making decisions, my friends, in life. Always. Just make the right decisions, because those decisions place you in the path of life and in the direction that you're going.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible. It's a topical series that explores those passages of scriptural wisdom that guide us believers in practical and godly living. Now, what we're about to hear is part of this series called Being a Christian While Being a Kid. And you can define kid however you wish, but whoever you are, you'll undoubtedly find it to be quite valuable. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Today's parents send their children off to school to hopefully learn something amidst the violence, the distractions, the political correctness, and the indoctrination of lifestyles, issues, revised history, and anti-Christian biases. I read that. That's a quote stolen from Mark Levin's new book, Liberty Versus Tyranny. And I was quoting him just a second ago. And he's not even a believer as far as I know. Philippians chapter 4, young people, mark it down. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The truth is, young people today are much smarter and stronger and teachable than our culture allows them to be. I believe that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, young people, the Bible says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will is. What a great, great statement for young people today. Number 5, the pressure to fit in. This is a big one. Kids, remember this. Remember the status, the peer pressure, your body, the zits, the friends, the looks, the clothes. The pressure to fit in is huge. So check this out. Number 1, you will never fit in. I want to be the first one to tell you. I know you've thought it, but you need to hear this. You will never fit in with your friends fully because your friends don't fit in. The world that's trying to conform you to march like they march, you will never be accepted in that world. You'll never fit in. And tonight, you can be here and not be a Christian. This still applies to you. Every young person desires to fit in. By the way, adults do it too when they haven't found themselves in Christ yet. Adults do that too. They just learn how to disguise it better. But young people, listen, you'll never fit in to what your friends want you to be, because your friends have not fit in yet either. They can't fit in because the target is always moving about what's cool. In fact, you know what's cool about being older? I have watched bell bottoms be no such thing. Then they come into being, and then they go away, and then they come back, and then they go in, they come back. And then, listen, I remember watching my sister come home wearing tie-dyed outfits. Right? Remember those days? No, we don't want to remember those days. And then you see that again. And didn't Solomon say there's nothing new under the sun? It's amazing. Things just come and go. Fashions, just hang on to your clothes. They'll come back around. They'll be back in. Just wait. It's absolutely amazing. Well, Pastor, I need to fit in because my friends don't think I'm cool. Guess what? They're going through the same fears you're going through because the target's constantly moving. Madison Avenue sees to it that it's constantly moving. And just when you think you fit in and you're cool, how long does it last? About a week. And then the target moves. Somebody else is cool. Why? Because nobody fits in. The only way that you can fit in is find out that who you are in Jesus. That's the only way you're going to fit in. Here's the cool thing. The way that you fit in is when you don't care that you fit in. Jack, that's called a nerd, and I'm not going to be like that. No. I'm not talking about nerd or not nerd. I'm talking about realizing, you know what? Young people, listen, I'm telling you. The people at your school, the way they walk around, the way they portray themselves, he's cool. You know what? You don't know nothing about him. I'm telling you, he's dying on the inside. She is so cool. No, she's not. You don't know what's going on. And they're looking at people saying, he and she is so cool. The target's constantly moving. Know who you are in Jesus. Have that walk, relationship. Invest in it. You'll never regret it, ever. Number six is this, what my friends are doing. Very few people on this planet will have friends that remain less still even for a lifetime. Friends. Friendships are amazing things, but listen, here's the deal. Friendships will radically influence us. So listen, young people, make sure, this sounds so parental what I'm saying, make sure you carefully pick your friends. Here's the reason why. You will adopt what your friends are doing, even if you don't agree with what your friends are doing. You will be forced by pressure to go along with them. So be very careful. And then understand this. Be careful who you pick as friends. Watch them. Be careful. Guard your loyalties and trust. Don't give them away so easy. But check this out too. As much as they are influencing you, you will influence others. It's absolutely equal. It may express itself differently. One, maybe you're very, very verbose or outgoing, and everybody, you know, who's like that gets attention. Don't think that that person has the corner market on influencing others. God has made you who you are, and you can influence, and you will influence other people if you realize it or not. But be very careful who you pick as friends, because what they do, you will either get blamed for it, or you will carry on with it and actually do it. The Bible warns about this. All you have to do is be in the vicinity and you'll be blamed for it as well. Very, very careful. What are your friends doing? How do your friends affect your life? Proverbs 1:10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Now listen, this next verse sounds like it's from LA or something. They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone. Let's ambush the innocent. Sounds like South Central to me. The Bible says, don't go with them. Get out of there, man. Your friends will affect you. Proverbs 17:9 says, disregarding another person's faults preserves love. Telling about them, tattling, gossiping about them separates the closest of friends. Be careful. Number seven, I like this. Being a counterculture kid. I just like that. Counterculture kid. Sounds like a movie. What is a counterculture kid? It's this. In fact, I wrote it down. I put this in my notes tonight because I heard this. I heard on KFI tonight, KFI radio. It was one of those mouths behind the microphone was shooting off something. And the guy said, and I wrote it down, he said, if you believe in the Bible, you need to go back to the Stone Age. If you believe in the Bible, you need to go back to the Stone Age. Wow. Tell that to Bernoulli, Michelangelo. Tell that to Da Vinci and Newton. Go back to the Stone Age if you believe in the Bible. I had to laugh. That was classic. And then I listened to what the guy believes in, what he was talking about. And I had to turn the guy off. Amazing. What am I bringing that up for? Because the culture is Christless. Listen, you guys, do you understand that we are racing toward being a minority like never before in American history? You guys, it's Newsweek magazine. I should have brought it tonight. It's sitting on my table at home. Maybe you remember, it's a red cover, and it's written with words that form a black cross, and it says, "The end of Christian America." Yeah, that's right. You guys are all a bunch of nutcases because you believe in the Bible. You believe in God. You guys need to be monitored because you guys believe in talking to God through prayer. Cuckoo. The world does what it does. It's absolutely insane, but it turns around to you and you're a threat. You're an independent thinker. You believe that God is your authority. You're dangerous. You're an enemy of the state because you can't be controlled. That sounds just like China today. That's just how Russia now is starting to make its way back to thinking. That sounds like Cuba today. Amazing. We live in a radical time. Kids can be counterculture people today. I think that's the only hope for America is the young people. Oh, I wrote some things down about being counterculture. See, Pastor, that sounds awful radical. You want to talk about radical? It was Christianity that said the world was round when everybody else was saying it was flat. That's counterculture. It was Christianity that said life is in the blood when everyone else said life is in the air. Did you know that? In the Dark Ages, it was the Christians saying, the Bible says the life is in the blood. And physicians in the Dark Ages believed that life was in the air. Guess what we found out? Life is in the blood. By the way, it was Christianity that said that the sea and the wind and its currents worked together to form weather when the world couldn't figure it out at all. Think about it. When the pagan world and the cult world talked about the world riding on the back of a giant tortoise, it was the Christian that said, no, you know what? The Bible says here in the Old Testament that he hung the earth on nothing. Invisibleness. How cool is that? I don't know. I think that's cool. I'd love that stuff. To be a counterculture kid, ask questions. Kids, you want to upset your teachers? Not your Christian teachers. Because you can't upset them. They're walking in the Spirit. They're filled with joy and they're amazing. But kids, when you go back to school, here's what I want you to do. And this is how I got in a lot of trouble. And I wasn't even a Christian then. Okay? Ask questions. A lot of questions. All the time. About everything. Always, when a teacher says something, say, excuse me, why? You want to be counterculture? When the teacher starts talking about evolution, say, can you explain that more, please? For example, can you tell me about fossils, transitional form fossils? A lizard with stubs and nubs? A lizard with bigger nubs and stubs? A lizard with big nubs and stubs? A lizard with big nubs and stubs and little feathers? A lizard with big nubs and stubs and bigger feathers? Can you show me a fossil with a lizard with big stubs and feathers and it could fly? And you ask that of a teacher, you'll see Sunday night with Ben Stein. You'll be expelled. Ask, ask, ask. Remember I said this a couple weeks ago. It was John Adams that said, facts are stubborn things. Don't stop asking until you get the facts. You'll be counterculture. And it's fun to be counterculture. You get your name in the newspaper someday. You've got to be counterculture because it causes the world to think and get down to the fact and get down to the matter. I believe that that's part of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:13 when he says, you are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. You can't put a kid away who says, excuse me, can someone explain to me how that came into being? Excuse me, but how does that logic and sociology and reason make this? How does that benefit the community? Ask, kids. Ask. Ask. It's very powerful. Number 8, overcoming your worries as a young kid. How can we cover some of these things? It's almost impossible. There's just too many. Unless the Word of God is all-powerful, and it is. We're almost done. Here we go. Matthew 6:31. Jesus says, therefore, don't worry. See, it's easy for you to say. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is that in the Bible or not? Do we believe it or not? We've got to choose to believe it. The concerns of being a young kid, what is troubling you? Give it to God. Pray about it. Give it to him. Tell him, Lord, this is scaring me. Lord, this is bothering me. This is worrying me. By the way, when you begin to do that, you begin to go on the advance. You begin to go on the attack, so to speak. Meaning this, when the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4, my child, never forget these things that I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. Listen to this. They will give you a long and satisfying life. That's an awesome verse. Man, you know what, you young people? Proverbs 3, 2, you should memorize that. That God's word will give you a long and satisfying life. Never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation. You can go on the offensive with that. You can go on the advance. You can take your worries, give them to God, and get them conquered. And I mean that sincerely. I'm telling you right now. Math, sports, projects, challenges, issues, fears. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I need you to help me conquer these things. You can sign up for motivation seminars. Forget it. You can read self-help books. Forget it. Write this stuff out. Stand before God and say, Lord, I'm applying your word to this. I'm terrified of math, or that guy at school, or that teacher scares me. Lord, I give you Mr. Gorilla, my teacher. Please help me, God. You can do that. Oh, man, I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, you must do it all to the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? Take that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and make it your life. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Number 9, find your place in life. This worldly system, my friends out there, will tell you what you want to hear, but they can't produce it. The world will trick you. It will always attempt to trick you. Satan, that's his playground. In fact, in Matthew 4, I won't read it all, but you can mark it down in Matthew chapter 4, 9 and 10. Satan came to Jesus and said, just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satan's still doing that. Getting this world, having it, shouldn't be your goal. Knowing God is. Now, young people and mom and dads, listen carefully to this. This is going to sound like an absolute heresy or something. What's more important to you? That your kid grew up to be a doctor, or that your kid grew up to be a true, real, blue, dyed-in-the-wool Christian? Is it more important for you for your kid to be an engineer or to be a Christian? To be a school teacher or a Christian? To be a landscaper or a Christian? Listen. Well, man, you know what? I'm going to send my kid to Harvard because he's going to go do Harvard Law. Hey, fantastic. How's his faith first before you send him to godless Harvard? Is he going to survive? What do I care, as long as he's making $400,000 or $500,000 a year? Jesus says, what shall it profit a kid if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How many kids go through that system to fulfill mom and dad's dream? And how many parents, meaning well perhaps, prostitute our kids into a godless system that has no value of Christianity and in fact is devoted to destroying their faith? When's the last time you walked onto a college campus and somehow let people know you're a Christian? You'll be eaten alive. You will be laughed at and mocked. Mention anything else and you'll be hoorayed. No, you know what? I'm all for doctors. I need them. I'm all for engineers. We love what they do. We love landscapers and we want teachers. But you're a Christian first. You should be a Christian first. George Washington was a Christian before he was a general. He was a Christian before he was a president. And then number 10, we'll end with this. Deciding who you're going to be. being a Christian and a kid in this life, you can decide. You still have time to decide who you're going to be. And by the way, let me add this. Deciding who you're going to be, if you do become an engineer, that's not who you are. Oh my, some of us old people, we need to hear this too. When somebody says, well, who are you? Some people, and I hear this, I talk to people all the time. Well, tell me a little bit about you. Who are you? I work for, I didn't ask you who you worked for. I asked you, who are you? People get lost in their doing rather than who they are. You know what happens when that's gotten a hold of your life? You have no life. You have to be at the office 7 days a week. You can't have fun doing anything else. You have no life. You are taking a position and making it your life. The truth is, you are a Christian human being, a person. And how you make money to put food on the table is you are a landscaper. That's what you do. That's not what you are. You're a Christian. You are created in the image of God. The greatest pursuit in deciding what you're going to do with your life is to know God. It's the greatest pursuit. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether that he does is pure or right. You're always going to be making decisions, my friends, in life. Always. Just make the right decisions, because those decisions place you in the path of life and in the direction that you're going. I have these two closing verses. They're long ones, but we'll end with this. Decide who you're going to be. Mark it down. Ephesians, it starts in Ephesians 3:17. It will end in Jeremiah 29:11. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing practical and biblical wisdom in a presentation called Being a Christian While Being a Kid, part of a greater series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we heard on today's broadcast serves as an example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Some of the titles in this series, Being a Christian While Being a Husband, Being a Christian While Being a Wife, Being a Man, Being a Woman at Your Job, and so forth. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more about the series, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to check that out as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and purchase the series. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.